This is a podcast from the Canadian Youth Delegation to the UN Climate Change Negotiations.
Welcome to the CYD podcast from the 1st of December. Negotiations are in full swing now and beginning to splinter off into smaller, more specialized groups. At the conference center, Thea had a chance to catch up with Joanna Defoe from the Adopt a Negotiator project.
I'm here with Joanna Defoe. Joanna, could you tell us a little bit about what Adopt a Negotiator does?
Sure. So I essentially track the Canadian government delegation at the UN climate change meetings and try to follow what it is they're doing in the different plenaries and breakoff groups and try to translate these updates in a way that is sort of interesting and accessible to folks back home that may be interested in knowing what Canada's doing but maybe not so interested in like the 500,000 acronyms that are available here at the UN.
How can people connect with your information?
The website where I post daily blog updates is adoptanegotiator.org, and then when you go to the website, there's the Canada section.
What are your perspectives so far on both Canada's participation in the conference and the broader trends of the conference so far?
In terms of what Canada's been doing, or rather not doing here in Cancun, I think that we've just been really reserved and held back. We haven't participated or delivered any interventions in plenary yet that I've seen, and it seems as if the general sort of negotiating tactic, at least in the open plenaries, has been to not assert any sort of unique position or express any leadership or on a particular issue.
People have, including our own leaders in Canada, have questioned the role of the UN process in addressing the issue of climate change. What are your thoughts on the role of the UN in this process?
So in terms of that, this big UN question seems to be a general trend for this year, especially after Copenhagen. If the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change could be said to have trends like the fashion world, then I think the trend this year is to cast doubt on the process that negotiators are using to deal with climate change. I'm really concerned and reticent with how this doubt is being used in the negotiations and how it impacts the sense of trust among negotiators and how it impacts a general sense of efficacy or like a general sense of ability to take collective action. As of now, there's been a lot of proposals for alternative ways to deal with climate change, and I think it's really useful to keep on exploring creative solutions and creative ways to find consensus and to find sort of ingenious and innovative responses to this incredibly huge challenge that we face. But as a whole, in terms of the sort of multilateral political dimension of climate change, I would be quite worried if this incredibly close issue that's connected to economic development, connected to equity, if this issue was relegated to less inclusive fora like such as the G20 or the Major Emitters Forum or Major Economies Forum, then I think that this would have huge consequences for the extent to which equity is part of a climate change framework or regime. So I think it's a really timely question, really interesting, and on the whole, I think it's really essential that negotiators and observers and participants try to bolster trust and cooperation under the United Nations, because as of now, it seems to be the most inclusive forum that is available and that has the potential to respond to the issue.
After this discussion, you might be wondering, what is Canada's position on the role of the UN on climate change? Thea asked Canada's lead negotiator, Guy Saint-Jacques, this evening.
Is Canada committed to the UN and the UNFCCC as the primary framework for addressing climate change internationally? And what are we doing to make sure that it succeeds? And then secondly, if we're not absolutely committed or fixed on the UNFCCC process, what alternatives for addressing climate change internationally would we prefer or be willing to accept?
Well, I would say it's premature to discuss alternative, but our goal is to address as quickly as possible a problem that is global in nature. And as I said earlier, because every country will be impacted by climate change, clearly a solution has to be found under the aegis of the United Nations. This is why the UN was created. There are a number of examples of conventions and protocols that have been negotiated in the past to address a global problem. This being said, this one is a tough one. I have said this publicly. Those are the most complex and complicated negotiations that have been tried by the UN. It's more complicated than disarmament discussions.
It was interesting to hear that he believes it is premature to discuss alternatives, since there has recently been open questioning of the UN process for climate change in Canada and abroad. He also added that he would prefer a voting system over the current consensus-based system, and that such discussions are taking place at the conference, but arranging this change would be very challenging. We just had time for the first part of the question, so check out his whole response at CanadianYouthDelegation.wordpress.com. We'll leave you for today with a reflection from Erica on our experiences at Klima Forum, the People's Assembly.
As part of a bilingual youth delegation, I'm used to hearing folks switch from English to French and back again, sometimes even in the same sentence. Still, the number of languages being spoken at Klima Forum's People's Assembly this week is impressive. I wonder how many other spaces there are where people from so many different places can come together and still find common ground. It's these kinds of conversations, the ones that manage to transcend even the most fundamental barriers to communication, that make me believe that we have it in us to find a just, sustainable solution to climate change.